This is the Taranaki Museum Oral History Project, an interview with Mr. Goodwin, who is currently visiting New Plymouth from Hawke's Bay. Today is the 30th of July, 1997. We're recording on a Sony WM-D6C cassette recorder using Sony ECM-144 microphones. The interviewer is Mary Donald, and this is tape two. Mr. Goodwin, we were just talking about your horticultural training. Would you like to continue your story?
When I was in Waiho at Norsk, Amiri County, I'd registered with the New Zealand Institute of Horticulture, which was only set up in 1926, I think. And this was in the early 30s, and I registered then, and then I had to have so much approved practical work before I could sit the first examination. Well, once I got back to Christchurch, and having completed the 3 years up in looking after the big sheep station garden and poultry and supplying the vegetables for the cookhouses and all those sort of things, and competing in flower shows and A&P shows, their fruit and vegetable and flower classes. I had the practical experience to qualify, so that I could qualify to sit the junior examination anyway. And then getting back to Christchurch, I got back to where I could attend classes at the Christchurch Technical College, as it was in those days. And it was at that time that I was able also to join in the dendrology studies, was Professor Faraker. And I met up with, and saw, more of Mr. McCaskill again. Or Prof, he was later Prof McCaskill. And, it was a nursery training again. Another stage from the station garden to the nursery garden, and it was while I was in the nursery, I stayed in that job for three years too, and I was as an instrument salesman, and Mr. Barnett, who was in the director of parks in Christchurch, and one whom I had approached at one time for an opportunity to train. And he visited the nursery, and he saw some of the work that I was doing, and we were buying in the rooted cuttings from the North Island and lining them out and growing them on the nursery rows, and I was responsible for training them up and selling them. And he was quite impressed with what I'd done. And as after I'd been there about 3 years, I think, again, he had offered me, if I wanted to get to extend my knowledge and experience, he had offered me a job, and I declined. He just said, if you want a job, come along. So I didn't actually apply at the time, but when I married, then I applied for the job to commence after honeymoon, as it were, and I shifted from the nursery side to the city council nursery in Christchurch, where the job was. I was a senior gardener on the outside reserves, and this was in the time of shortage when, because in ordinary times there'd been two or three qualified men above me, but they'd all gone to the war, and
So what year was this?
1940. Mm. We actually planned to marry in 1939, but we put it off because of the war. Although I didn't really think that I'd ever be passed because I had an old football injury in the right leg. And I did go into the army for 2 years, 42 to 44. So part of my experience was the Christchurch City Council was spent in the army. But I hadn't long been in the army when they put me into the quartermaster store, and so I became a quartermaster for the regiment in the Finnish. Before I was marched out.
So you started off with the City Council, and you were there for quite some time before you went into the, was called up. Is that correct? Is that not correct?
Oh, only took a couple of years.
Mm.
Yeah. A couple of years, and then there was a couple of years in the army, and then I managed to complete, the first and second stages of the National Diploma in Horticulture before I went into the army. And as when I was in the army, I was trying to write a thesis as well as a study for the final stages of the NDH.
And what was your thesis on?
The Hill Gardens and Reserves of Christchurch. Mm-hmm. Trees and Shrubs for the Hill Gardens and Reserves of Christchurch. I chose that subject because the trees and shrubs are the more permanent features of a garden, and you've got to know about the size and habits of these sort of trees if you're going to plan a long-term project. And so I took that as the choice. I could have probably had a go at half a dozen other different sections, but I thought by taking it as my special subject, I'd do that much extra work on it and probably learn a lot more. And I won in the intermediate examination. I won the first Campbell Memorial Prize for the top student in the country at that time. And as I say, I had a bit of a struggle finishing up the thesis, but I qualified while I was in the army. The NDH New Zealand. And then, when I come out of the army and then back to the nursery in Christchurch, the School of Horticulture had been just authorised to commence at Massey and Lincoln. And Professor Perrin and Dr. Yates members of the Horticulture Committee were in Christchurch for a rhododendron conference, one of the first rhododendron conferences. And they interviewed me at the Clarendon Hotel where they were staying at. And in the end, actually, it's really hard to explain to other people, but the break into the army and the break back from the army, it was very hard to settle down. And so I accepted the job at Massey, and I went up there for 5 years. And then from there, I taught amenity horticulture. I was superintendent of grounds and shelter belts, farm roads and all those sort of things come under my control. And I lectured to the students on plant identification as well. And had five quite enjoyable years there, and friendships that still exist, although some of those students of those days have gone now, but we still have an annual, we used to have a five-yearly gathering. Now it's each year because each year we're losing more and more of those first students. But the first students of Massey have a reunion every October.
Now, it was an agricultural and horticultural institute, wasn't it, initially, rather than it being a fully fledged university? I'm not really familiar with the history of Massey.
Massey was at that time was an agricultural college.
Yeah, right.
But it was they were setting up. They had already set up in conjunction with the teachers' training college. They had set up advanced studies for a university, and was under Prof. Perrins. He was the first principal of the full scale university, I think, if I remember rightly. Or was it one of the Massey students that came back? And I think they had a Rhodes Scholar that came back and was one of the early, if not the first, I've forgotten what to call them now. The first head of the full university at Massey.
Nice.
The transition, it is rather hard to go from the agricultural college into the full university. It was a very gradual change. A lot depended on land and buildings. And I think the first part of the college was, part of the first development of the full university was in Palmerston North, associated with the Teachers' Training College. And it was administered by Massey.
Mm-hmm.
But just the exact same, I couldn't, I'm sorry.
That's all right. And so you were lecturing there, and you were also, you said, superintendent of grounds. And so did you do all, I mean, the year you've got a new institution, did you do all the landscaping and things like that? Is that what you were doing? As well as lecturing?
Yes, well, Massey was quite a good, an attractive grounds to start with. And then with Dougal Mackenzie came back from the war. He'd been wounded, invalided out. And he went as a lecturer at Massey, along with the other groups in horticulture. And he was responsible for some of the early planning. And Professor Perrin himself was also interested in the landscaping and planting up, and he used to come out and work with us, clearing areas, planting up on Saturday morning. He'd come out and work with us. But to say I was responsible for the whole lot, no, I contributed to the overall picture. We actually run glass houses up on the, before we had the other glass house ranges, we had a glass house up on the top floor of the old Massey College building.
Mm.
So we used to take the students up there to teach them about glass house management and so forth. At the earlier stages, there were practical demonstrations of, you know, handling the spades and the various gardening tools and preparing a bed and setting the beds up and planting them out and that sort of thing. And I was responsible for that. But gradually, the students themselves preferred that they get on with lectures and studies rather than doing the practical work. I think they all appreciated it, but in the end they gradually worked the practical out of their, and that became part of diplomas. Mind you, it was only a diploma course to start with, and then when the degree classes came in, of course, there was no practical, or very little practical for them. They had to settle down to full studies. But I was 5 years at Massey, and we lived actually out on the hillside up above the college. And then I was invited to apply for Hamilton, Wanganui, and New Plymouth.
And all at the same time?
All pretty well within a month of mostly one another. And I actually, I chose New Plymouth. And Ian Paps, Dr. Yates, who was born here, or Victor Davies, who was the nurseryman here, they may have persuaded me one way or another, but I told the chairman of the park committee when I came here that one of the reasons was that I'd heard good reports of the hospital and the schools. And I had a young family at that time, and I felt that was quite important, although Wanganui is quite high, and so does Hamilton for that matter. But anyway, it was probably the Taranaki Hospital that attracted me, or turned the tables at the time, and I decided to come here in 1949. In 1957.
Before you go on to 1957, what was it like when you arrived here? You were appointed to look after Pohokura Park, is that correct?
Yes. Yes and no. The position was a curator of Pohokura Park and superintendent of reserves, which was still to be developed. The various reserves were under the citizens' committees, over 20 of them. And these people were getting older all the time, and with the loss of the young fellows during the war, there was no foreseeable support for them, and also the costs of everything were getting higher than these voluntary committees could afford. And so they, the different committees resigned, I think the first one to resign was Martin Hill, had a separate committee. And they were, this was just to meet and they'd work on the paths and that sort of thing. And I couldn't interfere with any committees at all, but the committees had to approach the council. It was quite a good setup, actually. It avoided any conflicts or most conflicts, I suppose. You can't say you avoid them all, but the committee had to approach the council, and the council would then ask me or to carry out a report or something like that. And then ultimately I set up a full-scale department, a vehicle, a depot, a nursery, and set up everything, which was for, and I think still is considered to be one of the model ones in the country. But again, it was, my experience was modeled on the experience of working for the top local bodies in the country, and I put into practice what I was taught there. And I suppose the army training as an army quartermaster did help me in keeping control of expenditure and stores and things like that. I'd always have claimed that it's benefit army army training, even if it is in the store side of it, can be a great benefit to a person in their career. Quite a number of others have said the same during this, from their experience during the last war. So
you came here and you were confronted with a park that had been neglected during the war and a series of committees that were going out of existence because they lacked energy. So it must have been quite a sort of quite a challenge, and you must have had, I mean, how much scope? Did they give you free rein? Say, this is what we have. What do you suggest we do with it? Or is that how they approached it?
Just to break back, I was heading to the final chapter in my education.
Oh, right.
Whether you wanted to follow that or to go on.
No, that's fine. We'll go to the final chapter in your education and then we'll actually come back. Because I'm intrigued about this, what it was like when you arrived here in Taranaki. Okay, well, we'll go back a moment.
Even George can't remember what. Well, he was at Duncan and Davies Nursery.
Right. Let's backtrack to the education.
Yes. Well, the one thing that did come up, after I had qualified as in the NDH, I had played around with the idea of taking a Bachelor of Science, but it just got sidetracked with one thing and another. I just put my heart and soul into my work. But the opportunity did come up when I was invited to attend an international congress in London to establish an international association of park and recreation administrators. And I felt very strongly about this, and I have always advised my students that the most promising in particular should have overseas experience, and probably in England, the continent, or North America. There are different ways, perhaps, different advantages for some people in very different areas. And so I was keen to have this overseas experience myself. So I got 6 months leave. The council agreed to support my.
This is when you were in Christchurch still?
Or no, this was after I came to New Plymouth.
Right, okay.
But it wasn't long after my appointment. It was 1957, actually. Mm. It was a few years after I'd arrived here. I arrived here in 1949, and it was 1957. And I was probably then I considered at the peak of my knowledge capacity. And then we're going overseas at that stage. I had the finest possible scope to benefit from every little aspect. And so I was granted leave of absence and assisted with my passage to and from England. And for the 3 months that I was over there, I visited botanic gardens and the international dendrology members in England also helped me substantially with their friendships. It's an organization that I had joined in 1952, and they've been wonderful, and they still are a wonderful organization of enthusiasts, and dendrology being the science and study of woody plants. And so I went home, and I actually, after that, I represented New Zealand on the International Federation of Park Administrators for 16 years, I think. I was a New Zealand representative, and I've attended congresses in Canberra and was London, then there's Canberra. No, yes, Canberra, Vancouver, and Durban, South Africa. And in that way, I gained the further knowledge of different countries and plant material and practices. And I believe that each of those visits was topping off of my knowledge, which seems to impress people today. Mm-hmm. The students wonder how I come up with the answers that I do at my age. But it was that very wide training and the practical approach. There were a couple of things that I fostered on those trips. Again, it links in with the park, and that was the illuminations of parks and gardens in London and Brighton and various parts of and also in Scotland, in Edinburgh, various parts of the British Isles, was the park illuminations. There was water effects in parks, which one would come up yesterday was crematoria and the management of crematoria, the fuel and some of the problems that they had with fuel and the furnaces. But that's just another part of the wider range of knowledge there is involved in park administration. I lost something that I was going to tell you.
Never mind, it'll come.
Yes, well, over there, all this, the other one that I actually stimulated was what's known as hydro seeding, in which they were working in England, covering the old slag heaps and the eyesores in the cities by even spraying them with rubbishy weed seed and anything at all to put to green the slopes again and bring growth back. And I saw that as a wonderful opportunity for highways and for the embankments that we have in New Plymouth with Rogaltown Park and those, and getting the banks grassed over after we excavate for the playing fields. So I brought quite a bit of information back on that, which I passed on to the Ministry of Works. They sent their own man overseas to follow that up. So I was associated with those two particular developments.
Mm.
And I came back to New Zealand and set into getting on with the work.
Mm.
I think that more or less covers the education, except that I gained awards later on for as my work developed, or I became better known. I received some awards for
some quite impressive awards, I believe.
Well, actually, I was the second youngest ever to get the Associated Honour of the Royal New Zealand Institute of Horticulture. That was in the 60s, 60, I'm not sure, 65 or 66. And, the Royal Horticultural Society in London has a number of quite important awards. There's limited in the number that can be issued. Some of them are limited to those that only those that train in the British Isles or live in the British Isles. And the one that they themselves value the most, because it is on a worldwide scale, is the Veitch Memorial Medal.
The
Veitch Memorial Gold Medal. And I was awarded that in 1978, the year I retired. And
I believe this is only one of 10.
Hmm?
Is that the one, is only one of 10, isn't there, in the world?
No, the limitation on living for a Veitch medal, I think, is 50.
Right.
The limitation on the Associate of Honour of the Royal New Zealand Institute of Horticulture is also 50. Living members at any one time. And I carried on with the International Dendrology Organization from my contacts with the Bottoms in the British Isles, and I met up with the people in America and the continent as well. That led to the award. I just can't remember exactly when it was now, of the honorary life member of the International Dendrology Society. Society is the correct name now. Originally it was called the International Dendrology Union. It was formed in Holland. And the honorary membership, I was one of the first to be granted the honorary life membership, which is limited to 10.
Mm-hmm.
The New Zealand Lily Society, the honorary life membership for that is also limited to 10.
And you're one of the 10?
Pardon?
And you're one of the 10?
Yes. I can't remember which one. I was only about the third in the International Dendrology. But then it just happened that I was in the right age bracket at the right time, and retiring from my vice presidency, I think, that I have to get that. It's not wearing it. It's in a nice little badge, a silver badge that they awarded with the life membership of the IDS. Probably the most treasured one, because it's an organization that started off as a semi-amateur, well-blended, always has been well-blended with highly qualified professional people, and supported by the directors of Kew and the leading horticultural institutes in the world,